Okay, who's that? Shrimes there, Ellie's there. I can't see who the other person is. Okay. Oh, Shloima. Very good. Okay, Jonathan's not here. The Seder will start. Okay, so we're about to start the sixth category, to
Did you
which we
do it
don't
last week, Rabbi, by any chance?
No, we didn't have a
No.
vital.
Okay.
No, we haven't had one since before.
Okay.
Long topic. The last time we met, we finished the fifth category, which dealt with Beinonu Chaveiro mitzvahs, as it relates to Beinonu Chaveiro. Before that, we did the fourth category, the way it relates to Beinonu Mokum. Now he's going to discuss Betochen as it's Nogaya to Schar for the mitzvahs. Just hang on, I don't know why. There's a light shining there. I don't know if it's disturbing you, but it's bugging me. I don't know why. Nothing's changed here since I was last year. I don't know why the light's doing that. Anyway, we'll live with it. So first, the Chovas is going to discuss something very interesting. He's going to speak about the fact that there's reward in this world and in Olam Haba, and explain the Gedorim of that, which is a big Kiddush. He said there's Schar for a mitzvah. The Chazal say Schar mitzvah b'hai al melek. There's no Schar for a mitzvah in this world. So we'll see. He'll speak about that. And then he's going to go into an interesting discussion about why the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba. We don't see any mention in the Torah of Olam Haba. He's going to explain that. And then he's going to continue how Betochen applies to reward for the mitzvahs. So we'll see why he's discussing that the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba in a perek that's dealing with Betochen as it relates to the mitzvahs. We'll have to see what the connection is. Fine, we'll see. So really, for a while, we're not going to be discussing Betochen directly, but we'll see how it ties into why the fact that the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba, that what it has to do with Betochen for mitzvahs. If the Torah tells you first there's Olam Haba and there's Schar, then you don't need Betochen because the Torah told you. Well, the Torah doesn't mention Bichlal, so then Mustoma, you're gonna challenge your Betochen in terms of focusing on Olam Haba, which is something we need to think about and talk about and spend more time discussing, because we don't discuss it enough, not Gan Eden and not Gehenna. The subjects we need to talk about. Okay, so let's start. Aval Pirush Achelik Hashishi V'hu B'gmul Ha'olam Hazeh V'Ha'olam Haba. The sixth category we're going to discuss what Betochen has to do with Schar in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Asher Adam Roi Lo B'Maisa Tov B'Olam. The person becomes zoiche to schar, what he calls gmul, because of the good things he does in this world. Gmul ba'olam hazeh bilvad, v'gmul ba'olam haba bilvad. There's three. There's reward in this world alone. There's a world in Olam Haba alone, and then there's reward, which one action can bring about reward in this world and the next world. So that's Pella Ploy, but there's a reward in this world alone. Okay? That's the Mishnah there in Peah, which we know very well. Yesh Olam Schar B'Olam Haba, Keren Kemos Lo Olam Haba. He gets the Keren, yeah. Okay, we'll see. There's a Rambam there. It's Gemara. We have to discuss it, but I just want to see what he has to say first, because it needs understanding. The details, the Torah doesn't explain clearly what the reward is. We don't really know what the reward is. Hashem promised us that you're going to get reward for the mitzvahs, but he didn't explain and specify what the reward is for the individual performance of every mitzvah. Averus, we know the einish for every averi in unbelievable detail. Yeah, this is chayv misa, this is chayv a korban, this is chayv this, this is chayv koros. The Torah spells out all the einishim. About the reward, the Torah doesn't spell out specifically. Pella. Unbelievable detail. The Torah describes all the Einshim. When it comes to Schar, nothing. No clue. We also, even in the Nezikin, which are not necessarily Einshim, Nezek Shor, Bo, Shein, Eish, Yushulach, Yad, Bimavushov, all the different Einshim and Vomaitzi Shemra, Vadaimilaze. So the Einshim, the Torah spells out very carefully, which is this world. Those Einshim, except Mrs. Beistin, also takes place in this world. We'll see. That's one of the interesting things you're learning. Ben Sora Moira, the very interesting Maharal that I saw today. You're not learning Ben Sora Moira. You're learning Boba Materes. You're dealing with the sugya of Al Shem Sofer. I'm sure you'll pick it up, but. The Gemara, the Mephoshim ask, what about Yitzchok? The Malachim come to Hashem when Yitzchok was out in the Midbar, and they say to him, Hashem, why are you saving him? You know what I mean? Yidden, he's going to kill. You know how much sorrows and suffering he's going to cause? Kill him now. Hashem says, no, don't judge people, Hashem. So if I judge him, Ba'asheh Usham, which is how we serve, and that's how we survive Rosh Hashanah, by the way. Because Hashem judges Ba'asheh Usham. He doesn't look at what you're going to do tomorrow, and the next day, and the next week. He looks at you now. So what's been Seir HaMeira? All of Ben Sora Moira, Al Shem Sofer. So they're different pshati, but the Maharal says a Moiridika pshat. He says the din of Ba'asheh Usham doesn't apply to mitzvahs, to Mrs. Beistin. Beistin doesn't have a limitation of Ba'asheh Usham. Beistin has to give a death sentence, giving a death sentence in this world. Why? Why is Beistin not limited? Because Misa B'day Shemaim is much worse than Misa B'day Adam. And if they didn't give him a Misa B'day Odom here, he would eventually be Chayiv Misa B'day Shamayim, and that's much worse. So they're killing him now to protect him from the Misa B'day Shamayim. So that basin has to do. They can't look at Ba'asheh Usham. They have to be rated Al Shem Sofer. Mrs. Beistin, Mrs. Shamayim, Misa B'day Shamayim, that functions on Ba'asheh Usham. Hashem is doing Cheshboinus in Shamayim, and he's Beistin. He looks at the guy the way he is now. Beistin, has to look how to protect him from Mrs. Beistin, from Mrs. B'day Shemaim. So they give him the lesser of the Oynesh. So, you see the Torah goes into extreme depth, details, giving us that we know also that there's going to be Schar, but the Torah doesn't mention the details of that. We're going to have to see that this touches on the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos there near the beginning that says that a person must be very careful of the mitzvahs because he doesn't know what the reward is. Have a zayir ma'od b'kalo b'chumura. Because you don't know what the reward for mitzvah is. So the light mitzvahs, the big mitzvahs, the hard mitzvahs, if the Mishnah there says, okay, so we'll see, the Rishonim there, the Rashi, the Rabbeinu Yonah speak it out, there's Mosholim, whatever. Okay, I'm not gonna go into that now, but just be aware of the fact that it's already discussed in Avos, this problem that the Torah doesn't specify the rewards. So that's talking about the Einshim and in this world, right? Because the punishments he's talking about are this world's punishments. The Abamis is based in the Kabbonis you have to bring, the all the different things here that he mentioned. Bo a shein, tashlumi careful, tashlumi arboim. That's all talking about punishment, malchus. It's all in this world. He says, Al gmur olam haba v'onshoy, the reward and punishment in olam haba, lo perish me'manovi me'ume b'sifrei. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chayim Zalvavas calls Moshe Rabbeinu Hanovi, didn't describe anything in the entire Torah. In the entire five books of Moses, there's no mention of Schar v'Oynesh in Olam Haba at all. The Oynesh that we have is in this world. And the Schar that's not mentioned is in this world and the next world, but the next world is not discussed at all. Ba'avu come upon him. A few reasons why the Torah doesn't, according to the Chovos Lavavos, mention Olam Haba. There's a very interesting Kli Yoker. Don't ask me where it is. Maybe it's on Shema. I think it's on the Parshas of Shema. It discusses at length this question. Why doesn't the Torah mention Olam Haba? And he says the whole of Shema is only talking about Olam Haba. There will be rain in your times and this, it's talking about Olam Haba. That's how he deals with it, Ein Sham. Chavis Lavos has a different approach. The first reason he says is, Mayim, Kitzuris HaNefesh Biladei HaGuf Eini Yadu Etzleinu. Who's getting reward in the next world? The Neshama. The Guf's not going to the next world. That's also a discussion, by the way, the Ramban and the Rambam. We're not going to go into that now, but Pashto says, is the Iker reward in the next world is the Neshama, right? And we have no way of understanding what a Neshama is without a Guf. Kol Shekain Mashi is Anigbo or Titztayeh B'inyan Ahu. We certainly don't understand what gives pleasure to the Neshama, what gives Tzad to the Neshama. We don't know what a Neshama looks like. We have no Musag of what that talks about. So how do you want the Torah to explain what the reward in the next world is? You wouldn't be able to understand what the Torah is talking about. Because the Neshama is going to get the reward, and we don't know what a Neshama, we don't know anything about Neshamas. So he says, but there's an exception. I'll perish Hashem did very briefly discuss Chai and Olam Haba for someone who's able to understand the concept. Kamosha Omer Li Yeshua. We found that the Kohen Gadol, there was a Kohen Gadol called Yeshua ben Yehoitzadak. He was there apparently at the time of building by Shani. V'nesati l'cho mehalchin bein ha'oim dima eile. There, the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him in the Novi in Zechariah, he tells him, if you go in my ways and you will safeguard my watch and you will also administer my temple and you will also guard my courtyards, then I will grant you stride amongst those who stand here. I'll give you paths amongst those that are standing here. How Oimdim Khan always refers to the Malachim. The Malachim are called Oimdim. That's obviously not talking when the guf is still connected to the neshama. That's talking afterwards. Hashem is giving a remez here to what's going to be after death. Where the soul leaves the guf. Then the soul takes on the tzura of the malachim. In its most simple nature, in the most basic nature, we'll see what that means now. It's going to be completely refined and having been completely not using the body. How does it get to the state of being completely purified and no connection to physicality whatsoever? Because it did the good deeds in this world, which polished and purified and makes the neshama shine by doing it in this world. Since Yeshua's neshama in this world was so purified, so he had the ability to hang out with the angels in the next world. Why does Hashem give him a little remez of that? It's because he's able to understand that. He had purified himself to such a level that he understood what a neshama without a guf must be. So Hashem gave him a taste of it. Mild remez, but other than that, we don't see anything. It's just in a unique once-off case for a specific person, Hashem gave that. The ruchnistic world is always called simple, is always called poshut. The physical is always called murkav. It's made up of different parts and pieces. The ruchnis is always just the oneness. That's called simple. Simple doesn't mean it's, well, we understand simple. Derech Hashem also uses the loshon simple in regard to Hashem. So it's a lot murkav. It's not made up of different parts. It's not complex. Simple. So that's the neshama. So we don't have a clue what that means.
Another question.
Yeah.
So I think I'm missing Rav's point here. We're told in lots of places in the Torah that if you'll keep my ways and abide my Torah, there's going to be a great reward for you. I thought
Where do you see that? Give me an example.
I guess maybe in Devarim, it seems like we're told over and over again, keep my ways, and there's going to be a choose life and death, choosing life and death, choose life. Choose my Torah, there's going to be a reward for you.
This world, from this world. Nowhere does it say specifically what the reward in the next world is going to look like. It says there's reward, but it doesn't say what it is. What reward are you getting in the next world? In Chumash, Chazal, there are certain allusions, but in Chumash, tell me one thing that you're getting on Olam Haba from your journeys through Chumash.
I'll have to think on that.
You can think long and hard, you will not find anything.
No.
You're going to sit in the next world and someone's going to play a violin for you, or you're going to, you know, we're not going to go into the Muslim version of what Olam Haba looks like, Rahman al-Islam. What reward are you getting in the next world? Lots of ice cream, lots of shawarma, lots of, what are you getting there? Lahano is Mizib Shekhinosai. No clue, but the Chumash doesn't say that. That's already in Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebik Sub doesn't say anything about specifically what the reward in Olam Haba is going to be. That we're going to get reward in Olam Haba, we know for sure. That, yes, there is allusions to that. I agree. But not specifically what the reward's going to be.
Okay.
That's what he's referring to, yeah. Even the two places where it does give us a reward, for Shluach HaKen and for Kibbut Ava'im, it's Arichas Yomim. And Chazal explained, he's talking about in the next world. He said, you'll have a long laugh in the next world, but it doesn't tell you anything about the quality of the. It doesn't tell you what you're going to be doing with that long laugh, what's going to be going on there. What's my reward? They give you a Gemara with Hala Tadrashi. I don't know, I'm asking. No way in the Chumash does it explain what the reward is. Chazal, the tzaddikim sit with their crowns on their head, V'anus, Miziv Shekhinosoi, whatever, but still, the Chumash certainly doesn't say that, even when Chazal explained it, we haven't got a clue what that means. Ein Loro, no one's ever seen it, no one's ever been there, nobody knows what it looks like. So that's the first reason, is because the Torah doesn't tell us, it's because we wouldn't understand it. Umihem, another reason, Shegmul Olam Haba V'Ein Shoy, Hu Mekubal Etzel Amei Haaretz Ma'Nevim, Umuskal Etzel HaChachomim V'Yinichu L'Zochrei B'Seifer Kmo She'Yinichu L'Sko Haba Mepirush HaMitzvah V'Achoyvois Mipnei She'Somchu Al HaKabbalah. Another reason why Schar and Oynish is not discussed in the next world, because it was an accepted fact. Even by the Amoratsim, even by simple people from the earliest times, what they received Balpe from the Naveem, remember there was Naveem running around and whatever, and there was a belief in the afterworld, which was handed down as a Masori from Avraham Avinu all the way down. There was a confidence that there was an Olam Haba. People knew it. And they understood, it was already understood as Boshut. It was Boshut Sfar. It was logically obvious to people who knew how to learn, not the Amaratzis, intelligent people. And therefore Moshe and the other prophets didn't mention it because it was something that was just Boshut. It was so well known. Just that they didn't mention many of the details of the mitzvahs. Many of the details of the mitzvahs are not mentioned. Tfilin. How are you going to make tfilin if you only have Torah Shebik Sab? How are you going to do shchit if you only have Torah Shebik Sab? Many things were known. Klal Yisrael knew how to do it. So then that wasn't written in the Chumash. Because we had an oral tradition and we relied on the oral tradition. So that's another reason why it wasn't brought down in the Chumash, because people knew it, and you don't have to tell people everything that they know. Things that are poshut, poshut. You don't have to speak them out. Umahem, a third reason why Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. She'am hayu mina sichlus v'mi'ut ha'avona. Because when was the Torah given? The Torah was given to a Klal Yisrael that had just come out of Mitzrayim. People had very poor understanding. They were still suffering from their what's called mitzrikait, their small-mindedness. Meitzah is restricted consciousness. Ve'inyan she'einenu ne'ela mima she'kosuv b'toira, ve'nog ha'boyre imo minag ha'av ha'choymal al b'noi ha'kotun k'shuroitze li'yosroi. Hashem treated Klal Yisrael like a father teaches, a compassionate father teaches his young son when he wants to discipline him. Klal Yisrael were young, very immature, very young. And to start explaining lofty spiritual concepts to them, they're loyal railers there. Benachas ula'at, how do you teach a child? You talk to him quietly, nicely, slowly. You slowly, slowly give him what he needs. You don't start teaching a child calculus. You first teach him one apple plus one apple equals two apples. No, no, what do you mean? You start teaching him A plus B equals C, and you start teaching him Pythagoras's, and no. You first tell him the basics. That's a pasuk, by the way. It says, Kamosha Kosov, Kinai Yisrael Vahavayu. Klal Yisrael was a nar, means a youngster, a young lad, a young boy. And I loved him. I showed him lots of love. Because he was a young child, Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu overwhelmed him with love. Because that's what a young child needs. As a person gets older, he has to learn independence, has to learn to stand on his own two feet, so you pull back a little bit. So when a father wants to teach his child when he's very young still, when he wants to teach him things that relate to elevated things, morals, ethics, spiritual matters. But right now the child can't understand that. Later the child will understand what he has to strive for. But right now you can't tell a six-year-old, the milers of the ruchnistika world. If the father would attempt to encourage his child to spend more time learning and more time mastering these ways, it's Torah Chaim, let's call it. So you'll tell the child, learn Musa and tolerate the difficulties and accept the pain of growth and everything, because you'll reach unbelievable spiritual heights, you know, whatever. The child will say, he couldn't handle that. You wouldn't listen to him. You'll damage the child if you do that. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you give him something sweet straight away, you'll tell the child, you'll learn 20 minutes with Abba, Abba Sabonim, you'll get a chocolate. The child understands, he'll learn. Tell the child, you learn Abba for 10 minutes, and then you know you're going to have big reward in Olam Abba, and your neshama will be purified, and you'll be able to understand that. What are you talking about? I told you about the Maisa, about the Masmidim Lishmo. No, I told you the Maisa once. There was somebody here started in a certain place. He started a thing called Masmidim Lishmo. You know, Masmidim, the kids come and they learn after learning. They learn extra hours, voluntary, whatever, and then they get a nice prize afterwards. That's why they go. But there was somebody who wanted to do it Lishmo. He's made him lishmo. Why should they do it for the prize? Let him do it lishmo. So he started meeting lishmo. A few days later, weeks later, the rov of the community got a phone call from the Baal Makolet to say that there were children that were stealing from the Makolet. So the rov said, him. So the Baal Makolet was like, how do you know? You got Ruach HaKodesh. He said, no, those are all the kids from Asmidim Lishmo. That's the vault of the Chavis HaLevavos. This guy who started Masmidin Mishmo obviously hadn't learned the Chavis HaLevavos, but that's, you give a child what's appropriate for him. You tell a child, learn, you get a toffee. That's what Chazal say. An adult, you don't tell an adult, I don't hand out toffees in Or Avraham, maybe I should start a Chesnest, whatever. You know, you come to learn because you're an adult, you learn, you understand the value, you understand the rewards. But take an eight-year-old and tell him, no, just come and sit and learn Mishmo. Meshugah. So that's the same with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. He's a nar. He's a young boy. He's young. He's inexperienced.
Do a good job. The breakfast shirim that you give us do a very good job. Like the
turkey. No, the breakfast shirim is something else. No, but I'm saying you sitting and learning, and no one's paying you. No one's coming and patting on the back and saying, "Wow, what a tzaddik! Have a prize. You know, he has $10. He has a." No, you learn because you understand why you can grasp that. You grasp why you have to do it because you're more mature. But to explain that to an eight-year-old can't understand it. As he gets older and whatever, he's more able to. But that's the vort, yeah. That's the vort. And thanks for the chizuk. I appreciate it, Shlomo. A child can't understand the future. If you would tell a child, listen, you can either have one toffee today or two tomorrow. Most kids would take the toffee today. Tell a child tomorrow, he's going to get his reward tomorrow. That's why when you do these charts, they call them the star charts or whatever. You know, the kid's going to work for a month on something. You know, at the end, he's going to get a prize. You should make sure you have little prizes along the way, little tachanot, depending on the age of the child. But you have little tachanot on the way, you know, like after every 3 days, he gets a small little prize or whatever. You know, he gets the remote control helicopter, whatever, at the end of the month. But in the meantime, he's, a whole month, it sometimes backfires, I see. Give the guy a little. Rabbi Tisiao says that when the child finishes learning, he should always leave with a sweet taste. Learning should always end on something sweet. That's why you give him a sweet when you finish learning, because he'll remember the sweetness of the Torah. That's the, always at the end, give him something sweet. That's what he takes with him. Okay, but that's not a chinuch. This we're dealing about. He's just using it as a marshal to understand why you can't understand the reward. So you give him Michael Omishte, Umer Keves, no, you give him a nice means of transport or whatever. But you give him nice clothes, Malbush no, sorry, and you give him nice clothes, whatever, something that he can appreciate. And therefore the father just 1 second, I don't know what he wants here. Just 1 second. And he gives him chizuk. Yodayo, he gives him chizuk. Threatens him with some sort of consequence that's going to give him immediate tsar if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Such as you're not going to get lunch until you do what you were supposed to do. You leave him hungry. Or he doesn't clothe him properly. Or Malkus, he gives him a patch. Today, you're not allowed to do that. But Daimelem or other similar punishment. And at the same time, he encourages the child by explaining to him in ways that he's able to accept. Proofs and clear evidence of why this is an important thing and factual, beneficial for him. A child's old enough to understand it. Then the child will be easier be able to withstand the discipline that the father's trying to give him and make an effort. Only when he reaches maturity, when he's older and he's more mature, then he'll be able to deal with the smaller doiche, let's call it. In the early stages, that's why today everything is Yamin Mach.